Good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on the Nova M Radio Network. Thank you for joining us, whether you're listening via the internet, radio stations, Sirius satellite radio, and soon XM satellite radio, or if you're just standing outside your house picking up the signals through the tin foil hat on your head. Anyway, you're doing it. We're glad you're here. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. You know what's coming next from the Supreme Court? The end of Roe v. Wade. I will guarantee you in the next session, which begins the first Monday in October and ends, well, like it ended today. In the next session, Roe v. Wade will be declared unconstitutional. Watch. When you can overturn a Supreme Court order that is 53 years old regarding an attempt in this country to bring about fairness in education, the end of separate but equal, the idea that because for 300 years other human beings were treated as slaves in this society, they need some sort of an assisted boost, not a handout, a hand up. I'm not going to start quoting phrases here, but when you have how many generations did black folk in this country have substandard education, facilities, teachers, students, everything? So in 1954, Brown versus Board of Education came out of Kansas, remember? Kansas. The land of Oz. And the Supreme Court ruled, you know, separate but equal is not something that's in the Constitution. Now, I know how it's being spun by the right-wing animals out there that, you know, if you're going to stop racial discrimination, you've got to stop selecting people by race. Oh, that sounds so logical, and it's so much crap. I wonder what white people would be doing right now, or what would we, white people, be doing had we been kept as slaves and animals for 350 years? Oh, never mind. Roe v. Wade is next, little by little. Now, Alito and Roberts, they're the ones doing this. And as was it Justice Stephen Breyer today who made the comment about he'd never seen the Supreme Court make such a hard turn so quickly, change so quickly? What was it that Alito and Roberts said in their confirmation hearings? Do you remember these lying sons of bitches? You'll excuse my language. Do you remember what they said? Established Supreme Court decisions, established law, is not something they were going to touch. Remember? Do you remember how activists in the United States just begged and pleaded for at just one Senate Democrat to have the courage and the decency and the respect for the Constitution to start a filibuster to keep these guys from being converted? Remember all that? Yeah, sure you do. Well, I don't make political predictions, but I will make this one. Roe v. Wade is dead in the water. That's it. So as far as a woman's right to privacy, within a calendar year, a woman's right to privacy regarding decisions she makes about whether or not to terminate a pregnancy will be gone. Ended. That's it. Very simply. Because there is no right to privacy in the Constitution. Some people say, well, the Fourth Amendment is right to privacy. No, it's not. That's the right to be secure in your homes, your papers, your personal belongings from illegal search and seizure. There is no right to privacy in the Constitution. That's why when Roe v. Wade was decided in, when, 72, the right-wingers went absolutely ballistic. The liberals said, wait a second, the Constitution, especially this sort of thing, this sort of aspect, the Constitution should be, was designed to be a living document, that it would change, it would expand. When the Constitution was signed, women couldn't vote. Black folks didn't exist. Well, essentially, what happened today with this ruling is the overturning of Brown versus Board of Education. One by one, you see, the damage has been done. It doesn't make any difference whether Bush or Cheney are impeached. It makes no difference whether or not a Democrat becomes a president in the next election. Where it concerns this, it just doesn't make any difference. Because this Supreme Court, these are young men, relatively speaking. what are they, in their 50s? These are young men. They are going to be here for another 25 years, unless they're impeached. Remember how hard the right tried to impeach Earl Warren? It's not going to happen. Not going to happen. So as far as the legislative branch is concerned, maybe getting liberal Democrats elected in 08 to the extent that they can write the law, if Congress writes a law guaranteeing a woman the right to privacy, the Supreme Court cannot overturn it because it is not against the Constitution. There is nothing in the Constitution that says it one way or the other. So it doesn't take a court case, it takes a law. That's the reason the right-wingers constantly are trying to pass laws denying gay folk the right to marry. It just doesn't stop, does it? Huh? It just doesn't stop. The other big story today, Cheney actually has now set up a confrontation between the legislative and the executive branch. I say bring it on. Bring it on. Now, let's hope. Oh, dear God, let's hope that the Democrats that are controlling these two committees do not lose their courage. Pursue this. Corner. Put these right-wing Bush and Cheney thugs in the corner. Push them. Push them hard. You think they will? What do you think? Huh? I'm afraid to guess. Will Leahy? Will Waxman? I don't know. Will they? Subpoenas have been issued. Bush once again raises his middle finger to the Constitution, to the separation of powers, to the co-equal branches of the government, and says, no, not going to do it. Of course, it's Cheney operating his jaw. And I got something I want to read to you a little bit later in the program tonight, something written by Bruce Fine, who was a... He was deputy attorney general in the Reagan administration. He has had posts at the Heritage Foundation, the American Enterprise Institute, and he worked for the Mooney Times, Sun Myung Moon's newspaper, the Washington Times. This guy is an absolute right winger, He was that. I'm sorry to make an ad hominem attack here. I don't know how else to say it. During the attack on Clinton. Because of Clinton's oral sex affair with Monica, it was Bruce Fine who always looked like the little rodent. He was the one that they would come out. He looked like a ferret. I'm sorry. He looks like a ferret. Or he did back then, back in the late 90s. And MSNBC and Fox had him, CNN, all the networks had him out all the time. There he was, Bruce Fine, just this grungy-looking little mole. I'm sorry, he looks like a mole, a ferret, a rat. That's exactly what he looks like. And that's how I used to characterize him. See, I'm not above that. I'll call people what I think they look like. Well, Fine has written something that was posted at Slate yesterday, demanding that Dick Cheney be impeached, stating that Cheney has run utterly amok and has to be stopped. Has to be stopped. American Enterprise Institute. Reagan administration, Deputy Attorney General, Heritage Foundation. Well, so we're going to do that tonight, too. What else we got? Oh, Bush. Did you hear what Bush said about Castro today? Huh? He's wishing him dead. Bush is wishing Castro dead. The magical thinking of George Bush. George, Cheney's going to die before Castro does, you freak. He's wishing, I'm going to close my eyes and tap my heels three times, and when I open them, Castro will be dead. I'll have the story for you when we come back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. Stick around. It's going to be a very up-and-down ride tonight. I feel it coming.
After fear for atomic energy, 'cause none of them can stop the time. How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Some say it's just a part of it. We've got to fulfill the book. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever had redemption song.
Let's see. There I was sitting around the leader with the table with foreign leaders, looking at Colin Powell and Condi Rice. Yeah.
It's about 22 past the hour. George Bush made it clear today he would like the Cuban leader, Fidel Castro, to disappear. Well, he's, you know, not the only one. I mean, how many presidents has Castro outlived or out-presidented? Bush was giving a speech at the Naval War College, of course, and he said, quote, "One day the good Lord will take Fidel Castro away," end quote. The good Lord? One day Satan is going to take you, George. What does that mean, the good Lord? The Castro is this devout Christian who's going to make it to heaven? What the hell are you talking about? Oh, well, ask whether Bush was wishing Castro dead. White House National Security Council spokesman Gordon Jandro said,
"The president was commenting on an inevitable event."
Now, of course, we all know that the documents released by the CIA this week, and we didn't have to wait for them to release this week. Most of us knew this 25 years ago, that the CIA worked with American mobsters to try to assassinate Castro in the 60s and again in the 70s. There was an effort made. This wasn't released in the CIA documents. Other efforts were made in the 80s. Hell, I think even Clinton was after him. And Castro, who is 80 years old, has published several editorials recently in which he urged Cubans to remain defiant in the face of criticism from foreign countries, especially the U.S. And Castro has said that Bush has wanted him killed, authorized and ordered an attempt on his life. Well, of course. What did Castro do? What did he do? He overthrew a dictatorship of Fulgencio Batista that was in partnership with the U.S. Mafia, that Cuba was a gambling whorehouse without a roof. That's all it was. The people were being exploited. The rich, it was a playground for not just rich of the Western Hemisphere. And so here comes Castro. Out of the mountains with his group of ragtag revolutionaries, and again, this is another example of how a middle class produces revolutionaries that can overthrow a repressive government. That's where Castro came from. Don't forget, Che Guevara was a doctor. All the people in the Castro movement, in the upper cadre of leaders, were from the middle and upper middle class, and they had enough, so they overthrew the government. And the United States was like, I was in high school when this occurred. And I remember my social studies teacher kind of hesitatingly saying that it was probably not a bad thing. And then Castro made his famous visit to the UN when in 1916 declared himself a communist. An agrarian reformer is what he declared himself to be prior to his declaration. He was a communist. And once that declaration was made, boom. That's it. Within a few years, the United States had imposed a complete embargo that's been in effect now for almost 50 years against this little country off the coast of Florida, 60 miles from Key West. Oh, my God. China, though. Oh, we love China. Yeah, they're trying to kill us. They're trying to kill all of us. Now there's seafood. Did you see the picture of the swine in China being force-fed polluted water in order to pump up their bloated bodies so they could be slaughtered and sold to America? Is there anything made in China? Let me tell you what happened yesterday. Was it yesterday, Kathy, when I went to the grocery store, and I was going to get some of those little boxes of juice because Molly starts summer camp next Monday. And, you know, 3 hours a day, no big deal. And it's not sleepover camp. It's just the Presbyterian church over here. Is it at the Presbyterian church? Yeah, okay. It's where she's going to go to preschool. So they got a little summer camp. So I'm going to get juice boxes so that she has, you know, juice. And I thought, oh, my God, look at the label. Sure enough, I look at, was it Juicy Juice? It was one of the heavily advertised labels. And when you read the fine print of where the ingredients were from, it said the pulp came from Brazil, someplace else in China. So I immediately put it back on the shelf. China putting orange pulp inside? It's not orange orange pulp. It's probably paint chips. Orange paint chips. What the hell do they care? Here, let's grind up some paint chips and put in here, and we'll call it orange pulp, and we'll send it to America, huh? We get rich.
They tied me to this table right here in the Tower of Song.
Making the pie higher, it's more of Mike Malloy.
It is 26 before the hour. And three new investigations are shedding some more light in the dark, filthy corners of the Bush crime family's response to Hurricane Katrina 2 years ago and how the Gulf Coast residents of that part of the world, as Bush likes to put it, were so utterly betrayed and lied to, and how New Orleans and other areas are still suffering from the incompetence, the neglect, the lies, the deceit. It's incredible. Here are some highlights of the reports. This comes from, where does it come from? Damn it, I don't have it right in front of me. Think Progress, I think, yeah. The EPA allowed toxic chemicals to harm Katrina victims, poor Katrina victims. A GAO report revealed that EPA publicly downplayed, does this sound familiar? The Environmental Protection Agency downplayed the risk of asbestos inhalation. Let me see. September 11th, that's right. Which is often released during home demolition. They played down the risk to city residents and failed to deploy air monitors in predominantly, well, this is a surprise, African-American neighborhoods. The white neighborhoods were, you know, they got their air monitors. Furthermore, EPA waited nearly 8 months to inform residents that short-term visits back to their homes could expose them to dangerous levels of asbestos and mold. I don't know how to do a program without using the SOB word. I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to do it. These people, they turned my stomach. FEMA ignored its own hurricane plan. Prior to Katrina, FEMA created something called a Southeast Louisiana Hurricane Backup Plan, which forecasted specific consequences and action plans in the event of a hurricane. But post-Katrina FEMA documents demonstrate that the plan was never implemented. The day before Katrina hit, FEMA Deputy Director Patrick Rhodes sent an email to Michael Brown's assistant with the subject line, copy of New Orleans CAT plan, stating,
I never got one. I think Brown got my copy. Did you get one?
And think about how these right-wing animals on radio, talk radio, tried to blame the victims. Well, you know, if I knew a hurricane was coming, well, hell, I'd get in my Hummer and head for high ground. These dumb Negroes that wound up inside the Superdome, well, what do you expect? FEMA guaranteed billions in profits for big companies. Following Katrina, federal agencies doled out nearly $3 billion in what are called cost-plus contracts. Those are contracts that offer companies no incentive to save money or keep costs from ballooning. Whatever your cost is, it's all right with us. FEMA was responsible for nearly 94% of all the hurricane-related cost-plus contracts, and the remainder were issued primarily by the EPA and the U.S. Air Force. There is a bill currently stalled in the Senate by right-wing Republicans, white men, that will limit the use of cost-plus contracts. It is stalled in the Senate, awaiting action by Homeland Security Chairman Joe Lieberman. What does he care? He's an independent. Lieberman. Saddam gassed his own people. Think for a second. Bush exposed his own people to asbestos and mold. Bush caused how many families to break up, how many suicides, how many murders, how many deaths, how many families utterly and absolutely destroyed. Dear God. And is anything going to be done about it? Well, Joe Lieberman has it all bottled up, right? Oh, my God. What else? Well, I like this story. I love this. Yesterday, Russia said, guess what? We've discovered a land bridge under the ocean that links 460,000 square miles of the Arctic to us. It's ours. Oh, by the way, there also happen to be 10 billion tons of gas and oil deposits in the part that's linked to us. Yeah. According to Russian scientists, there's new evidence backing Russia's claim that its northern Arctic region is directly linked to the North Pole via this underwater shelf, right? Huh? Now, under international law, no country owns the North Pole. Instead, there are five surrounding Arctic countries, Russia, the U.S., Canada, Norway, and Denmark, by way of Greenland, which are limited to a 200-mile economic zone around their coasts. But on Monday, a group of Russian geologists returned from a six-week voyage on a nuclear icebreaker. They had traveled to what is called the Lomonosov Ridge. It's an underwater shelf in Russia's remote eastern Arctic Ocean. Now, according to Russia's media, the geologists returned with what they called "We have sensational news." We have sensational news. Listen up, Russian citizen. The Lomonosov Ridge is linked to Russian Federation territory. Yay! Now that boosts Russia's claim over this area of the Arctic that is just loaded with oil and gas. It's Russia. It's part of Russia. 10 billion tons of gas. How many barrels is that? I have no idea. According to Russian media, one newspaper, the Komsomolskaya Pravda newspaper, celebrated the discovery by printing a large map of the North Pole. It showed the new, quote, addition, end quote, to Russia, which, by the way, is the size of France, Germany, and Italy combined. And this new area is now under a white, blue, and red Russian flag. But Sergei Priamakov, the International Cooperation Director of Russia's Arctic and Antarctic Research Institute in St. Petersburg, told The Guardian of the UK, quote, "Frankly, I think it's a little bit strange. Canada could make exactly the same claim. The Canadians could say that the Lomonosov Ridge is part of the Canadian shelf, which means Russia should in fact belong to Canada together with the whole of Eurasia." Priamakov said he'd been there many times. He says it's an oasis for marine life. Asked whether it would be feasible to drill for oil or gas, he said, yes! You see, Russia already has the world's largest gas reserves. It's the second largest exporter of oil after Saudi Arabia. But just like Bush and the neocons want to gather up everything in the Caspian Sea area, the Russians want everything north of the Arctic Circle, and they've staked a claim to it. This would be fun to watch, won't it, huh? If you look at a map, you go to the Guardian of the UK, you can see a map, and you can also see the very short distance, relatively speaking, if you go over the polar ice cap, northern polar ice cap. Is that redundant? Over the polar ice cap with missiles from the old Soviet Union to the United States. Very, very short, relatively speaking, distance. So I would imagine that, I don't know, I'd be curious to see, will the people of the Mississippi Gulf Coast have their homes restored, or will Russia launch nuclear missiles against us? Which is going to come first? Which one do you think will come first? Or will we launch missiles against the Russians? One of those three things has got to happen. Or will Roe v. Wade be declared unconstitutional? That's coming within a year. Aren't these exciting times? Students cannot be assigned to public schools because of their race, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled today. This decision will cast doubt. Oh, I would think so. On integration efforts adopted across the country. Separate but equal was a perfectly valid way to educate our children, you see, back in the 50s. You've heard people talk about the good old days in the 50s, right? Huh? Post-World War II, the economy was booming. Little Negro children stayed in their place. Little white children stayed in their place. Everybody was happy, remember? And then some woman or was it a man? Don't even remember, but their daughter was forced to go to a school that was substandard. And it was a school populated only by African-American students. And the family's name was Brown. So they challenged the Board of Education. And they took it all the way to the Supreme Court. And, oh my, they won. It was unconstitutional, separate but equal. Where does it say that? But today, you see, Sammy the Fish Alito and John Roberts, and amazingly, Clarence Thomas, who admitted in an interview years ago that affirmative action was what helped him get his ass out of southeast Georgia, where he could have wound up as a gas station jockey. Now he's on the Supreme Court. How did that happen, Clarence?
The
four so-called liberals on the court said the last half century has witnessed great strides toward racial equality. This is a decision that the court and the nation will come to regret.
Forgetting folks were too broke to evacuate. Niggas starving and they dying of thirst. I really had to go and check on them refineries first. Making a killing off the price of gas. He would have been up in Connecticut twice as fast. After all that we've been through, nothing's changed. You can call Red Cross, but the fact remains that George Bush don't like black people. George Bush don't like black people. George Bush don't like black people.
Frankly, in the vote I got in the African-American community, I put people in my cabinet. I put people in my sub-cabinet.
I put people in my basement. I put people in my sub-basement. Yeah. Hell yeah. Senator Clinton said, once again, the Roberts Court has shown its willingness to erode core constitutional guarantees, and Senator Obama called this ruling wrong-headed. Both of them voted no on Roberts. How did they vote on Alito? Did they vote no on Alito, too? I'll tell you, it's astonishing how quickly this is happening. And one of the plaintiffs, one of the white women who complained about this issue, I saw her on a news summary tonight, and one of the white women was sitting there crying. She won. This is what she wanted. She wanted to stop her children from being, I don't know, I'm not even sure what happened. Did the kid get bused to a school where there were black children? Was the child Was the child's school forced to bring in the children? I have no idea. The child lost a space in a school to a black child. I don't know, but the woman certainly got what she wanted, or else she wouldn't have filed the lawsuit. But why was she crying? I don't quite get it. I really don't quite get it. So, how quickly will we be back, especially here in the old Confederate South, how quickly are we going to be back to so-called separate and equal, which is separate and unequal? But, I wonder how long it's going to take. Or am I overreacting? Is this no big deal? Huh? Is this no big deal? Email from George, founding Nova M member. Mike, I can't believe the Supreme Court actually took this country back to the days of Jim Crow. The hard-fought victories for civil rights and equal rights has just been dealt a death blow. So now in many southern cities, there will be a complete resegregation of the schools, separate but equal. George goes on, it is also obvious that there will now be a flood of similar cases going forward. And all measures which were put into place to remedy the institutional discrimination will be eliminated in all areas, including employment, housing, loans, etc., etc., etc. The neo-fascists have won a great victory today. It is time, George writes, for all of us to ante up and put our butts on the line once again and take this country back. We need to take it to the streets. We are getting closer to having to use that fourth box, Mike, the one which Thomas Jefferson would have already cracked open. George. Yeah, the equal, the Brown versus Board of Education, separate and unequal, is unconstitutional. Okay, what's next? As George points out, are the banks now going to say, well, no, the lending institutions and mortgage companies love to get poor people and put them into these variable interest rate mortgages and then roll them all into hedge funds, and then people who invest in the hedge funds make millions and millions and millions, and the people out here, when their interest rates all of a sudden double and their house payments go up by $1,000 a month, they lose their homes. But no matter, the hedge fund managers have made billions, and the hedge fund investors have made millions. And if a few black folk and white folk lose their homes, well, that's just too bad. You shouldn't have done it. You shouldn't have been so stupid. And then what? What next? Hiring? Here in Atlanta, back during one of the big booms, the big building boom that happened about 25 years ago, the mayor back then, 30 years ago, was Maynard Jackson, black man. And although most of his family is whiter than me. But anyway, he was called a black man, just like Barack Obama is called a black man, just like Tiger Woods is called a black man, see, even though they're just about equal, African and Anglican or Eurasia, whatever the hell they are. Don't get me started on that. Anyway, Maynard Jackson said about 30 years ago, you want to do business with the city and you're one of these big ass white contractors, then you will have some minority partners. You will have some subcontractors. You will do business so that black folk get a piece of the pie too if you want to do business with the city. Oh, Lord have mercy, did the white people go nuts here. And you know what? It worked. It worked perfectly. But somebody had to make a stand. Somebody said, well, us Negroes are tired of the back of the construction gang. We would like to be able to bid on a project, not be the ones who just dig the damn hole to build it in. And guess what? Atlanta went from, and now this is not necessarily good, Atlanta went from 1.5 million people to 5 million people. It went from a rather medium-sized southern city to a major metropolis choking to death on its own effluvia. So what happens next? Is affirmative action, a minority contracting, is that gone too? That's not in the Constitution anywhere. Hiring practices, that's not in the Constitution anywhere. trying to raise our kids to understand black and white and Latino and Asian. That's not in the Constitution anywhere. This is what fascism is about. This is what the Republican Party wants. This is what the conservatives have been hoping for 50 years. Got to get them Negroes out of our schools. Ha! Damn, got to get them out. How are we going to do it? Well, just be patient. Eventually, we will have a president who is so asinine and stupid that his vice president will engineer everything that occurs, and very quickly we will take control of the Supreme Court, and then all of this nonsense will end. Well, guess what has been happening in the past few days? You're just joining us. I always say welcome back on the assumption that people are spending their entire evenings listening to my nonsense, right? Let's do some phone calls, see if we can elevate the tone of the conversation here. Who shall we begin with? Let us begin with Charles, who is calling from Cambridge, Mass, listening on the Internet. Hey, Charles.
Hey, Mike. How are you tonight?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Not too bad. Not too bad. You mentioned in the beginning of the show how the way things are going, Roe v. Wade might be overturned, and I hate to say it, I think you're absolutely correct. I think the problem is we have these ultra right-wing Christian zealots in power, and they're in the end, I think they're going to destroy this country.
Well, I think they will. There are two forces at work here: the religious nutballs, and then these corporatists or neo-fascists. Take your pick. But in both instances, women, you see, are way, way, way too empowered and to make decisions, to have the privacy, a sphere of privacy around them to make decisions that affect them and could possibly affect a few sperm or a fertilized egg. They are not to have that kind of privacy. Hmm. And the fact that they were given that sort of privacy by an all-male Supreme Court back in 1972 is an outrage. So, to these people. So it's going to be overturned, and I say before the end of the year, before Bush is out of office, and this will be his gift to the people who put him in office for 8 years.
Do you think it's possible the reason that Bush and his puppet masters have been appealing to the Christian right is because these religious zealots are so seethingly gullible? They're so easily manipulated.
Oh, of course. Very easily manipulated, yeah.
Because, I mean, I've actually met people who were convinced that Bush was guided by the hand of Jesus.
Sure.
As if he were some divine figure.
Well, he said that. He said he told the, I think it was the interior minister of the Palestinian Authority, and it was all over the Middle East. I don't know how much play it got back here other than on this program, but Bush said that God told him to invade Afghanistan, and now God, at the time, now God was telling him to invade and conquer Iraq. Now, you know, when people talk to God, that's called prayer. When God talks to people, that's called delusional or schizophrenia.
Well,
you know, but you know, the religious, the Christian nutballs in this country say, well, yeah, of course, you know, Christ talks to me all the time. God talks to me all the time, tells me what kind of spinach to buy, tells me when the light is green so I can get through the traffic intersection. It's astonishing.
This is why I find it so difficult to have an intelligent conversation with someone on the right wing, because, number one, so many of them reject logic when presenting their arguments. And
Right. It's
just many of them are just delusional.
Well, any group or individual who believes that that the universe is 7,000 years old has got major screws loose in their heads, and that's what they all believe.
Well,
go ahead, Charles.
No one listen. If this thing with Roe v. Wade, unfortunately, if this happens, don't be surprised if the next move will be to try to force the teaching of creationism in public schools.
Well, they can't force it. Creationism can be introduced by state boards of education, and then somebody can challenge it, and it can work its way to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court can then say, well, there's nothing in the Constitution that says you can't teach creationism, and then the state school boards will say, aha, now let's get rid of this evolutionary nonsense and geology nonsense and plate tectonic nonsense and astronomy nonsense. Yes, get rid of it all.
It's like the Middle Ages again.
Or worse, because the Middle Ages, they could plead ignorance. Here in the 21st century, we can only plead stupidity.
That's true.
Thanks, Charles.
Have a great night.
All right, sir. Appreciate you checking in. Mark is calling. Mark is calling from San Francisco, listening on the Quake. Hey, Mark.
How you doing?
I'm doing all right. How about you?
Pretty good. Listen, I think it's to the point now where we need a voter revolution against the Republican Party. And what I mean by that is to vote out every Republican running for office. And that's the message that needs to be sent for rubber stamping this fascist in the White House. This party's destroyed our country. It really has. We're in a crisis, and nobody knows it. Nobody wants to see it.
It seems that way, doesn't it?
It sure does. I mean, this man in there is a madman. I mean, we lost how many people in 9/11 because that administration was hoping we'd have a Pearl Harbor. Look at Katrina, Iraq. People are dying in this country, dying because of this administration. People are economically being devastated. You go to the gas pump. Who do you blame? Republican Party. And look at the look at Valerie Plame. We have two traitors, Cheney and Rove, sitting in the White House. They should be out. They should be put in jail, these two individuals.
They really should.
I mean, this, Mike, I hear you every night. I mean, I love hearing you talk because it's my passion, too, and it keeps me sane that there's somebody out there telling America what we're up against. And I mean, I'm a Democrat just like you are, and I'm disappointed that they haven't taken more action. But you know what? What this Republican Party's done, we have no choice but to do everything we can to get them all out of office. I mean, rubber stamping this man and letting him go on and destroying our country like this. They are Republicans first and Americans second, and this Republican Party is destroying us.
Well, let me ask you something. Should we use the same phraseology that the Bush crime family uses regarding Iran? Should we use the same language regarding our republic, and that would be simply all options are on the table?
I would. I mean, we're in a crisis here in the United States of America. I mean, our government is just not representing us. I think they probably represent a few people, and everybody else is really taking a beating here. And our reputation throughout the world, I mean, this is a crisis we're in, and people have to realize it. That's why I think a lot of people are mad at the Democrats, because we are in a crisis. And I'd like to see John Edwards, who I like a lot, or some of the other Democrats, just stand up to this man and say, you should resign from office. You're destroying our country. That's how bad it is.
Yeah, I agree with you. Hey, Mark, let me move on. Thank you. I appreciate what you had to say. I hope to hear from you again. See, if Mark and I sit here and talk about all options are on the table, that's getting very close to sedition. If George W. Bush talks about where it concerns Iran, all options are on the table, and he's talking about a nuclear attack, that's considered a He-Man approach to foreign policy. Yeah, maybe, don't forget the four boxes that should be used in the defense of liberty: soap, ballot, jury, ammo. Back to your phone calls. Ron is calling from Wellsboro, PA, listening on the internet. Hey, Ron.
Good evening, Mike.
Hi.
I can hardly put my thoughts together.
I hear that.
I'm so sickened by this reversal in the Roberts Court. What comes to mind is Jonathan Kozol's book, Savage Inequality. In a way, the law really pretty much mirrors what happens culturally anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Kozol has called the educational system in the United States a system of apartheid. And, I've subbed in, like, you know, the Philly school district, you know, and I have firsthand knowledge of, like, how inequality acts on the financial level with inner city schools, and I've subbed in schools outside of like urban areas, and let me tell you, it's vastly different.
Oh, sure.
So I mean, there's already institutional racism that's implicit, especially at the state level where things are, you know, are sent around, you know, depending upon what I don't know what calculus they use, whatever it's population density or income, you know, to tax ratios. I don't know any of that, but let me tell you something about Mr. Roberts. If they overturn Roe v. Wade, all right, he is going to be in.
Hey, wait! Don't finish the sentence. Let me do the break.
We'll come
back. We're going to pick it up where you said if they overturn Roe v. Wade. All right. Let me put you on hold. We'll be back in a second, Truth Seekers. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.
And much more than 10 cents a dance. But who's really paying the tune while we watch Georgie prance? Think of Thomas Jefferson, and it makes me wanna cry. To think that the chair he sat in someone could buy. George wears his faith like a money belt. But I'll pray to Mad Time instead. Please come back, Tom, and save us from King George again. And it's fun.
There's gas in our hemisphere, and the fundamental question is, where is it going to come from? I'd like it to be American gas.
Back to Ron, who is listening on the internet in Wellsboro, PA. Now, you were going to say...
Yeah, I have a couple of zippy points to make. One is that if Roe versus Wade is overturned, during the confirmation hearings, Roberts was asked again and again about the, you know, concept of stare decisis, which is, means basically it's like it, what's the law stands as
right.
it is, right?
Right.
He lied under oath that he would that Roe v. Wade fit within the criterion of stare decisis. What this leaves open is the possibility that if it can be established that he lied during his hearings or during his confirmation hearings, he can be impeached as unfit. All right. Secondly, if there is a majority in, like, the Congress and Senate, the Congress and Senate can vote on a law to overturn these kind of decisions.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, there is a backdoor method to get. But, you know, the immediate, you know, response to it is like, oh, my God, what are they doing to the country? Because, you know, I was just reading part of an essay that Jonathan Kozol had in last year, and he was talking, oddly enough, about the Thurgood Marshall High School in Seattle, how, like, 95% of the student population is white, and Thurgood Marshall is, like, completely, like, you know,
right.
Non-white. And
that's one way to put it.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? And it's just the last thing I want to say is that, you know, you said some time ago on a program about like how African American people don't protest that much because, you know, they're afraid that, you know, that if something nasty goes down, they'll be the first one scooped up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think this really indicates something to the African American community, or it should, that these people who are in control right now, who are in power, just to put it nicely, don't have their best interest at heart. And, you know, just like Elvidge Cleaver said, you know, it sucks, but you know, we're back to these times again. Either you're part of the solution or you're part of the problem, you know, and it's just, we're just going to have to work as a culture, if we care about it, to stand up to these people finally and say, no, we're not taking your decisions. We're going to use the legislative branch to undo the damage you're done, and we're going to vote people in that can do it. Because you know what? I'm tired of being bullied by these people. They're not going to destroy my country without a fight. And I'm damn sure willing to do almost anything, because I am like you. I got a little one at home, and I look at the schools that I sub in, and I'm thinking to myself, boy, I don't want to send my 4-year-old there.
Yeah.
You know, they turn them into like military recruitment facilities. You know, you go into the lunchroom and they got the guys in camouflage and the kids around the table handing out pamphlets. They got, you know, surveillance cameras in every like corridor, you know. Mm-hmm. It's just insane. I really hate it. And it's just like this is such a slap in the face to the African American community. I watched a bit of the debates tonight, and Tavis Smiley, that was like one of the questions he asked. He asked the candidates about this ruling. And I don't know. I didn't see any spit come out of anyone's mouth. If I was a candidate, I'd be up there frothing, you know? That's probably why I wouldn't be a candidate.
That's probably why. Ron, thanks so much, man.
Hey, take care, Mike.
Always good to hear from you.
All right,
we'll talk again. Yeah, I would like to know what an American who has that merciless one drop flowing through his or her veins, what you think about this ruling tonight? I don't know. I have a sense that, and it's only a sense because, you know, I don't know, one or two black people do not speak for Americans of African descent any more than I speak for Americans of Swedish descent or Irish descent. You know, that's such an American thing. Well, I'm going to go ask the guy down at the gas station who changed my tire. What does he think about this Nat King Cole guy here? You know, I mean, that's such a white person thing. I don't know. I don't know what white people think. Black folk get together someplace, some great big stadium with, you know, that holds 30 million people, and they get together and say, okay, now, what's our position on this, and what's our position on that? So that when the next white man comes up and says, hey, what do you people think about this? We'll have an answer. But I have a gut feeling that were I a so-called black person in this society with today's ruling, I would just turn away even more than I've already turned away.
Got the flying monkey right blues? Here's the cure, Mike Malloy.
It's about 25 before the hour. Back to your phone calls here. Brian is calling from Joliet, Illinois. Brian's listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Brian.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Fine, thank you. I used to listen to you when you were in Chicago.
Oh, bless your heart.
Oh, all the time. And I'll tell you, when I heard that you had left, night came early in my day.
Oh, my.
Yeah, you're my favorite talk show host.
Well, thanks. That's very kind, Brian.
Well, Mike, I have just a couple things I'd like to touch on. I have an analogy for what's happening to our constitutional freedoms. And a scientist said that if you put someone in a bathtub and you heat it by 1 degree every 10 minutes, a person won't know when to get out when that person is burning.
Yeah, the boiled frog analogy, right.
I happen to think that this country has been in that bathtub, and many are still accepting something they would never never accept had it happened immediately, namely fascism, and our society is gradually being governed by a few politicians and corporations in every detail of life, and I really, this oversight and investigations must succeed.
Mm-hmm.
And I also wanted to say that next week is Independence Day. Mike?
Yeah, yes.
Oh, okay.
I'm just listening to what you're saying, Brian.
Okay. And I wanted to say that in World War II, by the end of June 1945, America had lost over 200,000 soldiers killed, about 600,000 wounded, 57,000 missing. And this was to defeat fascism and totalitarianism. And now we are losing our constitutional rights and freedoms. And I have to ask, were the sacrifices our soldiers made in World War II for nothing?
Mm, I hear you. I hear you.
Well, I'm just glad that you know that you're on the air and.
Well, so am I, Brian, and I appreciate you checking in. The reason I don't specifically answer the question is because I can't answer any more than you can. It seems like so many soldiers. I am so anti-war, but I guess there's a time to fight and a time to die and a time to kill, according to Ecclesiastes, there is anyway. And given that, let's assume that that's true. When I think of the Americans, and not just Americans, but since I am an American, I think of them first. When I think of the Americans who have died trying to defend what Bush and Cheney and these right-wing thugs have set out to utterly, absolutely, and completely destroy, if I think about that too long, Brian, I get furious. And I want to do something that would probably make me wind up in jail or worse. So I hear your question. And I think most decent thinking Americans hear your question too, and I don't think any of us have an answer, not a real answer. But I appreciate you checking in. Thanks, Brian. Kurt is calling from Salt Lake City. Kurt also is listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Kurt.
Hi, Mike. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Oh, good. Hey, I love your show, and I don't think people tell you often enough how powerful and important what you're reading of 1984 is. That really touched my life.
Well, I'm glad. It's one of the more profound novels that I've read in my lifetime. So anyway,
well, I have some thoughts on the Supreme Court decision today. It seems like there's this kind of this sickness that goes that runs through certain white people at the top. It ran through the Nazis in Germany, and I don't see any difference between what's going on today in trying to assert, you know, sort of a white master race over everyone else, over the whole planet, just different theology, different religious beliefs than what was happening in Nazi Germany. I mean, it's a, you know, this fantastic theological religious goop that people are concocting to try to just take over and oppress everybody else. And the Supreme Court today illustrated how pervasive that has become in our society.
Mm-hmm.
And but I think that there is a magic of will that we can tap into, that there is a goodness that runs throughout the cosmos also.
Right.
And I believe that that's reflected in things like music, your shows, the will that we all have to see justice come through. I recently went and saw Roger Waters in Las Vegas, and that really changed me also.
Mm-hmm.
It really struck me when he was doing that song Leaving Beirut, and he said, America, don't let the Christian right F it up for you and everyone else.
Right. Yeah. I saw him here in Atlanta. Kathy and I did. Yeah.
It's just a powerful show, you know, and You know, unfortunately, it's become a kind of a us and them sort of situation.
that would make a good title to a Pink Floyd composition.
God only knows it's not what we would choose to do, but
right.
I mean, you know, hey. But I think that the magic of will, that having our intention in the right place, getting together, and tapping into that force of goodness that comes from the sun through the cosmos. That it exists, it is real, and it can create manifestation around us. And if enough of us just have our hearts and our intention and our actions and our words in the right place, that I believe we can make a difference. That may be irrational, that may be crazy, but that's what I believe.
All right. Well, thanks for sharing it, Kurt, and I appreciate you calling. Hope to hear from you again, all right?
Great talking to you.
All right. My pleasure. Take care. I used to thoroughly, absolutely, totally, completely, down to my sweat glands, subscribe to that idea. And I'm not what Kurt was just talking about. I'm not saying that necessarily that I don't any longer. It's just I pretty much gave up. You know, back in the 70s and 80s, well, mostly probably from about 70 to 82, 83. You couldn't have found a person more dedicated to exploring the so-called New Age ideas than what I was doing. I swear, I wanted to believe so badly. And here in Atlanta, I had a whole clutch of friends who have since we've all gone our separate ways. People I very seldom see anymore, if ever. They believed the same way. And I read as much as I could, everything from, I mentioned this before, from the Seth Speaks book to the Tibetan Book of the Dead to, Carlos Castaneda, just on and on and on, some of the New Age writers, you know, just hoping to find something that would make it real. In a way that I wanted it to be real. But Kurt, I have to tell you that after my own, you know, personal journey, you know, like Moody Blues said, you got to make the journey out and in. And after my personal journey in and out, I'm kind of left standing here in an existential sense. I'm certainly not discounting my family, but in an existential sense, standing here completely alone. And the only noise I hear, I don't hear the music of the spheres. I used to, but what I hear now is just kind of a howling, I don't know, cosmic wind just blowing through everything. I'm sorry, I don't mean to be negative. I don't necessarily believe that's negative. I really don't. It's just kind of. It sounds negative, I know, because most people, myself included, want to believe. You know, really want to believe. That's kind of the irony, the cosmic joke about being self-aware. You know, of having an ego, an I am. You know, I am. You are what? No, I just am. Okay, so what? Let me think about that. So I want to believe what you believe, Kurt. I really do. I still do, and can't. So, back to your phone calls. Blake is calling from Kokomo, Indiana. Blake is listening via Sirius tonight also. Good Lord, Sirius. Hi, Blake.
Hey, Mike. It just seems like to me that we've got to have a theory as to why Bush is not making a good central government in Iraq, because the Lord knows we could have actually done something good in Iraq, but it just seems like we don't take the actions to make it happen.
Well, I don't think you can ever do good in a country when you invade it with an army, bomb the hell out of it, and then hang its leader. Even though the leader might be a two-bit cheap tyrant that we created, by the way. So I don't think the intention was ever to do anything good for Iraq. I don't think it is tonight. I don't think it'll be next week or a year from now. The intention is to own Iraq and to own its natural resources, which are oil. So I respectfully disagree, Blake. I don't think there ever was anything that the U.S. could do to make things right in Iraq. Blake, I have to leave it there. We'll be back after the break, Two Seekers. Stay with us. I'm Mike Molloy.
Thank you for the importance that you've shown for education.
Okay. I got two emails here in the past a couple of minutes, one from Jack, one from Marshall, about Bush crying today. I didn't hear anything about it. Jack writes, Bush began talking about a young man who devoted his life to revenging the terrorist attacks of 9/11 by joining the service, and he was killed in Iraq, at which point Bush began to cry. I would imagine, Jack, that was guilt, because Bush knows he sent this young man and 3,000 of his comrades into hell's open mouth. Iraq did nothing to us. And Marshall writes, did you talk about Bush crying over the soldier yet? Marshall also writes, it was so pitiful. Is he even capable of feeling, or was he crying because it reminds him of what a loser of a president he's been? He made me ill with that display. Well, I didn't see it, and I don't know. If I would have seen it, I probably would have run screaming away from the television screen, I swear to God. But anyway, thanks, Jack. Thanks, Marshall. I didn't know about it. When Bush starts blubbering, I get a wave of nausea. What the hell is that about, you know? This little rat bastard creates a condition for thousands upon thousands of people to die. Americans and Iraqis, slaughter, torture, rendition, butchered children, children in this country who will never see their fathers and some of their mothers again, and this son of a bitch stands there and cries? Excuse me, I'm sorry. See what I mean? See what I mean? It's there are just certain triggering events here that cause my brain to go into curse word overdrive. Oh, well, Gene is calling from San Francisco. Gene is listening on the Quake. Hey, Gene, welcome to the program. Hey, Gene. Oh, I think we've... wait a minute. Where's Gene? We'll get her in a second. Hey, Gene, welcome to the program.
Oh, hi, Mike.
Hi.
If Bush was crying, I think it's probably that his medication was just getting low.
That's probably...
I think he's too much of a sadist to...
Yeah, well, yeah.
That smirk is more telling of his real emotion.
I completely agree. I wonder if his handlers, when they want him to display some emotion, they just withhold his meds. and they know that when he's out in public, then he'll start to blubber, and then the few remaining Bush supporters go, oh, God loves him so much. Look, God's touching his heart and making him cry. Oh, well, that's not what you cried. Yeah, or called about.
Well, that existentialist dilemma you were just talking about. When I try to get back and look at the situation analytically, as far back as I can get the biggest picture, I just think it's the human race can't come to terms with its biological state. We put ourselves on too high a pedestal and just we're just animals.
Well, that's what self-reference.
And we just don't want to accept that. And we have population pressures. And back when Europe expanded with its imperialism and making colonies, that was all population pressure. They were running out of resources. They had, you know, rather than controlling their population, that was the solution. We continue to do that.
Right.
And we've got a long way to go. We have to clean up our act that way. solve our problems differently.
Absolutely, absolutely. But, you know, that's the risk of becoming self-aware or self-centered in the non-derogatory use of that term. All of a sudden, we you know, human beings say, well, if I'm self-aware, there must be some reason that I'm self-aware. Oh, I know what it is. I'm special. And really, we're not, I don't think. I mean,
we're so special. Why can't we solve this problem?
right. Well,
anyway. Oh, you know, this reversal of the Brown versus Board of Education,
yeah.
I think it shows that Bush delivers, because this Supreme Court that he rigged is delivering to his backers, and those backers are those Dominionists and maybe mm-hmm. those Opus Dei types of religious crazies. And if your listeners haven't Googled Dominionist yet, mm-hmm. they need to, because they can read that the wiping out of Brown versus Board of Education, that's one of the first steps in their theocratic goals and mm-hmm. motivations. They really... the same thing with what you were saying about reversal of Roe v. Wade.
Mm-hmm.
When you read those Dominionist papers, they're just frightening, and these are the first steps.
Well, are you referring to the guy Rush Dooney, the Christian Reconstruction Movement? Because if you're not, that's another prong in this satanic fork that's trying to stab into the heart of this country, the Christian Reconstruction Movement.
Oh, they want slavery. They want.
Oh, they want it all
women,
back.
Women in the kitchen with a.
not even cake. Not yeah, women in the kitchen, and if they mouth off, women in the backyard with their heads cut off.
Right.
And children buried up to their necks and stoned to death if they mouth off to the white man or the man who's in charge. This is some really sick stuff. And I think you're right. I think this is a payoff. Bush can say to these thugs, look, I wasn't able to get a constitutional amendment against gay marriage, but guess what? I reversed Brown versus Board of Education with my appointments, and not only that, I'm going to overturn Roe v. Wade before I leave office. Mm-hmm. That is coming, Gene. You know it as well as I do.
Yes, and I looked up. I think the Diebold family has something to do with this too. I think they have Dominionist leanings.
Yes. Oh, there's no question.
And here they are. Their surname, this Diebold surname, means bold race. I mean, these people have it all the way. You know,
right.
their mindset is just created all the way to their name. You know.
He's
delivering to them too. They're delivering to him, and he's delivering back. It's bizarre.
Yeah, I hear you. Thanks, Gene.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks for checking in. We'll talk again. Quick email here from Steve in Jasper, Arkansas. Writes, love your show, Mike, especially with the idiot box being all repeats. I get you on Sirius 146, as that's the only option us poor folks in Arkansas have when it comes to left-leaning radio. Keep it going. We're out here listening. Thanks, Steve. A lot of serious callers tonight. That's good. I guess because people are traveling. You think that's it, Kathy? All right, quick break. Well, not a quick one, a rather long one, as a matter of fact. If you want to go get something to eat, go ahead. Go to the John, whatever you do, in these 7-minute breaks. I'll see you on the other side. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio. Welcome back, 7 past the hour. I guess I should be covering occasionally anyway the candidates' debates. There was another one tonight. I don't even know where they were. I didn't even know there was happening. I know one of the callers mentioned it tonight, and Reg sent me a link here to APNewsAtExcite.com. All of the candidates, of course, blasted the Supreme Court ruling today. And I guess everybody's aware that all the Democratic candidates in the Senate, who were in the Senate, opposed the confirmation of Sammy the Fish Alito. Clinton, Biden, and Obama voted against Senator Roberts, too. Chris Dodd voted for his nomination. I guess we'll have more information on this tonight. It's just, I don't know. Maybe it's because it is not quite July 2007 and the election is not for another 15, 16 months that these debates are not doing anything for me at all. I have to admit, though, that some of what the Democratic candidates are saying is fairly... No, I can't even say it. Pretty much boilerplate. I've heard it all before. Apparently Hillary said tonight and got cheers for saying that if HIV/AIDS were affecting mostly white women in this country, yada, 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 which it is not. I think the fastest population in this country suffering from HIV/AIDS are women of African descent, some kind of African descent. Oh, well. All right, back to your phone calls. This is the Molloy program on Nova M Radio, in case you didn't know. Back to the phone calls. Tim is calling from Tennessee, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Tim, welcome welcome to the program. We got Tim. Hey, Tim.
Yeah, Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, sir.
I just want to let you know, man, I'm a white conservative Christian. You know that, right?
No, I don't know. I don't know anything about you.
Anyway, I was calling in reference to your comment earlier. You know, I listen to both sides, you know, the conservative and the...
You listen to truth and lies.
And the progressive side, as you guys call it, progressive. So, you know, there's a lot of things that we have in common that I, you know, agree with on your side of the story and on the other side of the story. You know, for one, you know, I'm not too much impressed with Bush either, so I just want to put that out there up front also. You know, I believe there's a lot of things that he could have done differently that, you know, I believe there's more of an agenda behind it than what's being led to the American people. But anyway, I'm a little bit confused, Mike. You know, earlier tonight you made the comment about the fourth box, you know, about the ammo. Is that correct? Is that how you referred to the fourth box?
Yeah.
Okay, well. The reason why I say I'm a little bit confused, you know, being that you guys are on the progressive side, you know, Democrats, liberals, whatever you want to call it, aren't you guys trying to take away the guns for the American people? You know, the law-abiding citizens.
All right, Tim. I don't have too much time to dick around with you, so I'll try to make this as quick as possible. In the first place, I don't know what you're referring to, you guys. In the second place. When you talk about you like to hear both sides, put him on hold because I don't even know if I want to talk to him again. When you talk about listening to both sides, you're talking about the truth, which is what liberals and progressives talk about, and lies and deceit and cowardice, which is what conservatives and Republicans talk about. Surely you know that. George W. Bush lied us into a war that's now killed almost 3,600 Americans and tens of thousands of Iraqis. So don't come to my program, Tim, talking about you listen to two sides. If you listen to progressives and liberals and Democrats, then you're listening to the truth. If you listen to the other side, you're listening to lies. If you give equal value to these two points of view as if somehow there was some kind of parity, then you're a fool. And I don't like to talk to fools. Now, as far as wanting to take guns away, let me tell you, pal, when you were still running around in middle school, I was armed and ready. I don't know where you get the idea that liberals want to take away guns. You get it from Limbaugh because, like most right-wingers, you're an idiot. You listen to Limbaugh. You listen to Hannity. Liberals have never wanted to take away guns. You know what liberals have wanted to do is to make sure that combat weapons are kept off the streets of America. And that if you're going to have a gun, if you're going to own a gun, then you should have a permit. You have to have a permit to drive your damn car. You have to have a license to marry somebody. So why shouldn't you have a permit or a license to carry something or have something in your house that, if it's used exactly as it's designed, will kill? What the hell is wrong with you right-wingers? Liberals have never wanted. We are the ones who support the Constitution and the first 10 amendments to the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, which includes the Second Amendment. We have never tried. Al Gore used to be a member of the NRA. I was a member of the NRA until the NRA turned into a neo-Nazi militia group that ought to be run out of the country. So don't come to my program, Tim, with your hog snot. I'm not interested. Go listen to Limbaugh. Continue to have your brain shoved somewhere up your rear end and go away. Go away. Don't come back. Leave me alone. Leave me alone. God, I hate that. And you know, I'll tell you what, call Tom Hartman. He will be patient enough and explain things to you. But to me, you're a damn idiot. I want nothing to do with you people. Nothing. I've got an interview up on BuzzFlash.com. Go read the interview, and it will tell you how I feel about you right-wingers. You're idiots. You have absolutely no sense of justice. You don't know right from wrong. You don't know up from down. You have your heads up your rear ends. I'm sick of you. I'm sick of what you've done to my country. I'm sick of the lies you buy into. I'm sick of the propaganda you put on your damn bumpers on your SUVs. I'm tired of you. I wish you would go away. Nobody believes in your bullcrap anymore. Nobody. You're a loser. An absolute loser. All of you right-wingers. And America is finally waking up to what kind of losers you really are. You're so far out of the mainstream of humanity, not just America, but of humanity. So, Amscray, go away. Don't call me again. Ever. Because when that ammo box is finally used, if it is, you and I are going to be on opposite sides, pal. Unbelievable. Quick break, we'll be back. I'm Mike Malloy.
I believe that people who are going to commit crime shouldn't have guns.
He's a liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. It's more Mike Malloy.
Twenty past the hour. Email here from Prairie 2. Hi, Mike. By most counts, the five Supreme Corporatists have issued 15 pro-corporate rulings this term. They can't turn the country over fast enough. This count doesn't include their refusal to hear the appeals of pro-corporate rulings by Bush-appointed activist judges and upheld by the appeals courts appointed by Bush. This includes the striking down of a 25-year-old law passed by ballot initiative in Nebraska that was keeping the mega conglomerates out of farming. Citing the Commerce Clause, the judge put a stake through the heart of that state's rights, a concept that was near and dear to the hearts of Republicans. The ruling basically says that states can no longer have any control over corporate practice within their borders. This law stood for 25 years because even the Rehnquist Court would not have struck it down. Allowing this into common law means that corporations will be able to acquire all the infrastructure, all the public and private infrastructure, and the states will be powerless to intervene in any way. I'm not familiar with that ruling, Prairie 2, but thanks. All I know is that this Supreme Court, with Roberts and Alito, Alito who replaced Sandra Day O'Connor, has become nothing more than a rubber stamp for this rush to fascism, corporatism. The terms are interchangeable. As far as that caller before the break, I can't stand people like that. First of all, this patronizing attitude that comes out of total, monumental, nuclear ignorance. That's one thing Hannity and Savage and Limbaugh and Hewitt and the rest of these right-wing thugs do. They allow people to revel, to relish their ignorance. It's so bad.
I'm just confused, Mike. I mean, ain't you liberals wanting to take away all the us normal people's guns? Uh-huh. Ain't that what you people want to do?
I had guns when that guy was running around in short pants.
Dear, what?
Never mind. Immigration plan is dead. We mentioned this earlier in the program. The U.S. Senate blocked a vote that was necessary to move on to actually voting on the bill. See, this is a way they get around saying, well, I didn't vote on the bill because I didn't have a chance to vote on it. Senators rejected a motion to take the bill to a final vote, meaning action on this law is absolutely, utterly, totally dead. The fact that it deals a major political blow to George Bush is to me absolutely superfluous and meaningless. I couldn't care less about Bush. To hell with Bush. But the law would have enabled some of the millions of illegal immigrants already living here to eventually seek citizenship. It would have also offered some would-be migrants a chance to apply for guest worker status. And it also would have provided tougher border controls to prevent illegal immigrants from entering the country, which I think is nonsense. If this is so, this drives me insane. This makes me want to start smashing things. And I have to realize, no, I can't do that because anything within reach belongs to me. So I can't smash anything. If America is really concerned about so-called illegal immigrants coming here, going to work, and immediately applying for all the wonderful social welfare goodies that the right wing tells you they're applying for, how do you stop it? Do you build fences? No. Do you pass laws? No. We already have laws. Do you kill them all? No, even though that's what the militias want to do. So what do? I'll tell you what you do. Two things. Very simply, you raise the minimum wage for all jobs in this country, not just the ones that involve interstate commerce, because most jobs do involve internation commerce at this point. You raise the minimum wage to what would be livable? Barely. $14 an hour? That sounds like a good number. That's A. Here's B. You tell employers that if they hire people who are illegals, so-called, they will be fined $100,000 per incident. And guess what? All of a sudden, it all stops. Now, there's a more humane way, and that is to take NAFTA and flush it down the crapper. Get rid of NAFTA. Get rid of the laws that have forced jobs out of this country, forced Americans in a scramble for the bottom, and forced people in Central and South America and Mexico to come here looking for work. Well, not South America, not yet. But Central America and Mexico. Why didn't we have this problem before NAFTA? We had an immigration problem, quote, quote, but not to this degree. There's no point. This is one of the reasons I try to stay away from the issue. We brought it up, early this week or late last week, just so people could vent. But I am so sick of the false choices that are put out there. You know, the right says don't do it for this reason. The left says don't do it for this reason. I'm sick of it. More of your conversation, fun and frivolity when we return after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
Wouldn't it be great if everybody had a gun? Wouldn't it be great if everybody had a gun?
Nobody'd ever get shot, because everybody'd have a gun.
Makes sense. Wouldn't it be great if everybody had a gun? Wouldn't it be great if everybody had a gun? Wouldn't it be great if everybody had a gun?
We wouldn't need the police no more, because everybody'd have a gun.
Yeah, wouldn't it be great if everybody had a gun? Wouldn't it be great if everybody had a gun? Wouldn't it be great if everybody had a gun?
Had a gun. Nobody'd ever get shot.
Border and coast to coast, the Mike Malloy Show. All substance, no abuse.
Ah, 26 before the hour, some overflow. The commode is overflowing as a result of Tim's phone call. I don't mean the emails I'm going to share with you. I'm talking about, his mouth, Tim's mouth. What a jerk. Malachi in Saskatoon writes, you might mention that the only administration to seize the guns of individuals is the Bush administration in the wake of Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans. And GM says, Mike, to also tell this moron that after Katrina in New Orleans, FEMA, headed by a Bush appointee, went around confiscating people's guns. And if he has any doubt, ask him to Google gun confiscation Katrina. That's from Guillermo. And Lou in Fayetteville, Arkansas writes, Mike, I'm a 75-year-old former law enforcement officer and 38-month U.S. Air Force veteran and a liberal who, like every other liberal that I'm acquainted with, either owns guns or has access to guns. Unlike the majority of the nutcases whose only knowledge of the Constitution is a warped version of the Second Amendment, these people like me know not only how to use their guns, but what the law says about when they have the right to use lethal force. Incidentally, I understand that the Constitution does not give the Supreme Court lifetime appointments, which, if true, could give the Democrats a very useful weapon. Might be worth checking. Lou in Fayetteville. Thanks, everybody. And also, I got this from Blueberry. Michael, be very, very careful, because the last thing you want to do is destroy the ego of the wrong right-wing loser, referring to Tim. Seriously, look at what those freaks did to Alan Berg. When someone's losing, don't destroy them, or you could find they have some sort of abscess on the brain or something and go postal. Look at that poor steroids-addled Canadian wrestler. He must have been completely out of his head in anguish to snuff out the lives he loved most. And these radio freaks, tearing their egos out and showing it to them is never soundly done. I volunteered and done nursing in psychiatric facilities. Trust me. Careful. Yeah, the Canadian wrestler who lives here in suburban Atlanta, or did live here in suburban Atlanta, I don't know what his problem was. But as far as right-wing freaks or Alan Berg, yeah, I know the Alan Berg story. I really do. But Alan Berg was not armed. I have been armed since I got threatened by basically the same people that murdered Alan Berg, this white Aryan nation group of pissants that are scared of their own shadows. And as far as the religious right, they're the same way. The death threats that I used to get at WSB came from the religious right, so-called. I'm talking about the real freaks, the Christian Reconstruction Movement and the Dominionist and the Klan, But somebody like Tim, who's just a smartass, that's all, you know, just a snot, wants to call in and talk about us liberals. He doesn't have a clue that the only reason he has the Second Amendment is because of liberals. But his mind has been so smashed by right-wing talk radio, you can't get away from it. This is the big argument. This is the thing that I had Shelley on about the other night. This is the issue. 91% of talk radio in this country is right wing. It's lies. It's deception. It's half-truths. It's nonsense. It's garbage. It's polluting us. It's destroying us. And that's what poor old half-brained, addled, dumbass Tim listens to. Right-wing radio that tells him liberals want to take his guns when the only time guns have been confiscated was by the Bush administration. And he doesn't know that. And I'm not going to tell him. But if he ever shows up on my doorstep, oh, God, make sure you have your Kevlar vest on.
Well, Mac.
Oh, what?
Hannity said today that you liberals are trying to silence the free speech amendment by the fairness doctrine. You want to shut us up.
Yeah.
You got a pretty mouth.
Oh, I can't stand it. What has happened to my country? What has happened to my country? What has happened to my government?
Freedom isn't free, Mike.
Oh, shut up.
Want some dip?
Some what?
Dip.
Oh, dip.
What'd you think I said?
Never mind. All right. Where are we? I guess we've covered just about everything I wanted to cover tonight, although we didn't go into detail about Bush asserting his executive privilege today and rejecting demands for documents that could show how the Justice Department has been totally corrupted, destroyed, and politicized by Dick Cheney and Gonzalez. And Bush, only as an afterthought, Bush is the guy that trails along behind Cheney and the rest of these people go, oh, yeah, can I do it too? Me too. Bush is refusing to comply with subpoenas from two committees in a probe of fired federal prosecutors. His attorney, and I didn't even know that Fred Fielding is still alive. He used to be Nixon's attorney. This man must be 120 years old. Fred Fielding told Congress that the White House would not turn over subpoenaed documents. For former presidential counsel and would-be Supreme Court Justice Harriet Myers, and former political director and brown shirt organizer Sarah Taylor. Fred Fielding said in a letter to the chairman of the House and Senate Judiciary Committees, quote, with respect, it is with much regret that we are forced down this unfortunate path which we sought to avoid by finding grounds for mutual accommodation. We had hoped this matter could conclude with your committees receiving information in lieu of having to invoke executive privilege. Instead, we are at this conclusion. Oh, my God. Well, like I said earlier in the program, I just hope that the Democrats on these committees, and I'm referring to specifically Patrick Leahy and Henry Waxman, will not collapse. I just hope they will keep the pressure on, force this into a judicial setting, force it to the Supreme Court, and let's see where we are. You know what I'm saying? Let's see where we are. This psychopathic idiot, Dick Cheney, claiming that he's above the law, above all law, civil law, criminal law, constitutional law, international law, Cheney sits by himself. And I never did get around to reading Bruce Fine's screed. I'll do it tomorrow night because you got to hear this. It's at slate.com. But here these people are asserting dictatorship. This is not unitary. Well, you know what unitary government means? That means dictatorship. No checks and balances. No co-equal branches of government. No power sharing. No. Unitary government means dictatorship. It means Stalin. It means Hitler. It means Pol Pot. It means Dick Cheney. Unitary government, my ass. Am I allowed to say that? Back to your phone calls. Will is calling from San Juan Capistrano and listening on KLSD in San Diego. Hey, Will.
How you doing, Mr. Malloy? Hope's all is well with your family.
Everything is great.
I'll try to keep my manners and not get kicked off the air. I don't want to get shot at like that crazy you had on a while back.
Are you a right-winger?
No.
Okay.
I was raised in a Republican household, but I registered Democrat so I could find out what the other side was happening when I was young.
Yeah.
And then I started realizing that the Republicans weren't always telling the truth most of the time.
Yeah, right. Most of the time. Hell, ever.
Well, back then it was most of the time. Now it's like completely. But this happened to me while I was listening to you on the air, and I want to get that out of the way real quick. Tell Mr. Drovny that his advertising that he's set up for the people, you know, you sell advertising, is reaching Southern California now, because for the whole time that I've been on hold, mm-hmm. we've been getting KPHX straight through from KLSD in San Diego without any KLSD advertising or anything. It's all Phoenix.
Really?
I don't know why that is, but it is.
Well, I don't know what's going on in Phoenix. We are feeding the program from Atlanta. Atlanta right now is in the middle of violent thunderstorms. I am surprised.
Maybe somebody pulled the wrong switch or something, but hey,
well,
it's good for your advertisers.
I'm surprised that we're still on the air tonight. So if there are problems also in Phoenix, and maybe not, maybe that's what the deal is.
No, I was picking you up clear as a bell out of 1480, and I'm thinking, that doesn't make any sense.
Hey, hold on a second, Will. I got to do a break here.
I will.
And we'll come back and chat after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. Producer and engineer in Phoenix, the KPHX, Ian Huff, part of the crew tonight, who also answered your calls. Our senior correspondent is Chris in Minnesota. Ben Birch was the moderator at the NovamRadio.com chat room tonight. Sorry to make it there tonight, guys. Mark Marshall is our webmaster. Catherine Bay, the executive producer of this program. And if you are not yet a member of the Nova M Radio Founders Club, I just have one short question. Why not? Why not? Why not? Go to Nova M Radio and sign on. Back to Will. All right, Will, thanks for holding on. Where were we? We'll get Will in a minute. There's Will. Hey, Will.
I'm still here.
Yeah, go ahead. Where were we?
I was... you got me. I was talking about the mess up with the switching, with the stations and all that, and how your feed's coming straight through over here.
Okay.
Uninterrupted. There's no callers from our side or anything. No national news, nothing.
That is fascinating.
Well, it's fascinating to me. I think your screener that, hey, this is good for you guys because the advertising gets over here, and there are people in California that go over to Arizona, you know? So, I mean, a few extra dollars might help the cause.
It might help. The only thing I can think of is that maybe the station KLSD is just taking a direct feed off the satellite.
Yeah, I think they are.
And if that's the case, thanks, guys.
Yeah. Well,
all right.
Hey, you know, it works. Actually, you're coming in clearer straight through with a straight feed.
Okay, good. Now, what did you really want to talk about?
I have been studying all of this and reading and watching videos and everything that I could about what's been going on over the last several years.
Right.
And I'm not going to this box thing only just to touch on it.
Okay.
I think there should be five boxes, not four.
Okay.
And the last two boxes, well, obviously, you know, the fourth one,
right.
We'll move that to number five, but
okay.
The fourth box should be, please, all your listeners, don't do anything stupid to give them the opportunity to react to it, because I think all of this craziness.
That's a big box.
I understand. I think all of this craziness is where our buttons are being pushed. And if we react, that gives them the excuse to counter-react.
Well,
PDF-50 and all that sort of thing.
Yeah, I understand that, Will.
I don't like this being patient stuff. I like solving problems immediately and going on, because tomorrow is always a new problem.
Right. Well, remember what the four boxes are for.
Yeah.
They're for the use in the defense of liberty.
Yes.
So if it gets to the point where the soap doesn't work, the ballot doesn't work, and the jury doesn't work, I would not be the person to stand up and tell people not to do something that might result in retaliation, because then it's way past that point.
I understand.
Okay.
I understand that point.
And I don't think that the framers who came up with this idea had that in mind either.
I think right now we're in this kind of this gray area where there are a lot of people who would love to do something, but they're either afraid or whatever. And all I'm suggesting is that we be patient and tolerate the craziness, okay, even though we're going to be broken up about this and all angry and hurt and everything else. I understand that. I feel just the same way you do. I'm on high blood pressure medication. I'm this. I'm open heart surgery patient. My doctor's scared to death. I'm going to pop. Okay? And rightfully so.
All right. Will, I get your point. And I want to try to squeeze another call in. Thanks, Will. I appreciate everything you had to say, and I hope you'll call back. I do appreciate it. And I'm not advocating anything, but since I am not a pacifist, I'm anti-war, but I'm not a pacifist. If somebody comes up to me and punches my lights out, either literally or figuratively, they are going to get a response that exceeds their punching my lights out by a factor of about 100. I'm sorry. I've said before on this program, I'm still dealing with the reptilian part of my brain. I have not elevated. I am not, I'm not up there in that higher consciousness. I'm not now, and at my age, I doubt if I'm ever going to be. And I respect people who have reached that higher consciousness. God bless you. You know, good for you. Me, I'm still down here where if you invite me to a knife fight, I'll come. But I will bring guns. And it's just that simple. It's just that simple. Let's see if we can get another call here. Aram is calling from Tucson, listening on the Internet. It's been holding on forever. Aaron, I've got about a minute.
Hey, I would like to thank the voters. I'd like to thank Chris Dodd, Tom Harkin, Mark Pryor, Mary Landrieu, Jay Rockefeller, Max Baucus, Carl Levin, and a special thank you to Tim Johnson, because those were the Democrats that voted either for Alito or for John Roberts. Johnson voted for both of them.
So what you think? I'm not sure where you're coming from. You think Alito is a good guy?
No, I don't. I'm being as sarcastic and as
I'm sorry.
Simply possible.
I'm
and
sorry.
The sad thing is that we have more Democrats in the House of Representatives now than they had in 1998 when they impeached Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
We have more of a majority now than the Republicans had, and we've got too many blue dog Democrats that refuse to do anything, and we've got Ronald
Reagan,
and we've got Nancy Pelosi, who are doing absolutely nothing.
Amen!
What do we have to do? What more has to happen
preach
in the country. And keep in mind, I'm only a 28-year-old third grade teacher.
Can I get an amen? Go, Aram, go.
What do I know? I'm only a 28-year-old third grade.
No, you got it, man. You're right you're right on target, Aram.
Especially after today. I mean, with this refusing to turn over documents, that's contempt of Congress. Let's have some fun.
I'm with you, Aram. You may be a third grade teacher, and I may be a talk show host, but by God, when the barricades go up, Aram, we're going to be on the same side. I got to leave it there, pal. Take care. Have a good night.
Bye.
Don't give up hope. We'll talk again. Beep, beep. All kinds of beepers are going off here. All right. Thanks a lot, everybody, even Tim, for participating tonight. I'll see you tomorrow night, okay? Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.